Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. America Meditating Blog Talk Radio Show. We collect wisdom, hear stories, and inspire each other. I'm Sister Jenna. Tune in live from Monday through Friday at 8 a.m.
Not to lose weight, but to help people lose generations of hate. While many around him rose up with violence, he sat down for peace. When others used religion as an excuse for war, he used it to remind them of love. Mahatma Gandhi made the world a far better place by reaching out with the strength he cultivated within his soul. So, pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Take a break. Breathe. Why don't you visit the Peace Village Learning and Retreat Center, 518-589-5000.
People.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to America Meditating Radio Show. I'm your host, Sister Jenna. We are broadcasting from the beautiful Meditation Museum in the nation's capital. And, of course, I'd love to see if you're ever in town or if you're just next door somewhere and really feel like you want to get centered and focused on the things that are important to you. We're looking forward to welcome a returning guest, Joy Baldridge, who will join us shortly, who's really into self-management and leading companies and families towards becoming more successful and powerful in their lives. So I trust that today's show finds you in a good state of awareness and you are really moving more into the energy of love for the soul. There is something very powerful about our souls, and if we can understand the workings of it, I think the world would be a much better place, don't you think? Don't you think? If you actually understood the power of your thoughts and how they were shaping your life and the relationships around you and the way your finances come and go from you. But one of the things that have always sort of touched me about the soul is how the soul creates my features, my body, the gender, the color, the texture, skin, the color of my eyes, the way my hands are formed and feet. I've been fascinated by that for such a long time, my friends. I can't begin to tell you that I found myself really observing my thoughts and wondering, now what would this thought create in my future? Such as like if I was very angry, let's say, for example, which I really try not to get angry, or I really don't get angry, but I get frustrated, which is still a form of anger. So I still have work to do. And when I feel those moments of frustration, I really find on many occasions me asking the self, what is that creating? How is that going to design me in the future? Because as we both know, money, beauty, power, it runs the world, very much so. And we're so shaped by how these things revolve and how the media propagates it and states basically, if you don't look like the photoshopped image on the cover of a magazine at the supermarket stand, then are you really happening? Have you arrived? Are you really showing up to your game? I don't believe it, definitely. And I believe that if you find what you love, success is already in your story. It's not about how much money you bring home, even though the billions are quite interesting. Can you imagine? How many of you look at your bank account and you see just like two zeros at the end or maybe three zeros? Or for those of us who are really good savers, maybe four zeros and then maybe five zeros. Can you imagine having more than six zeros at the end of your bank account? What's going on in the soul? What is the soul thinking? What is the soul doing? When your soul manifests and starts to create over six zeros after your numbers, like eight, nine zeros, where are you inside? What is the spirit of your consciousness? These are some of the things that you will hear on the America Meditating Radio Show. And I'm looking forward to one day actually interviewing Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook, folks that are living with the beyond six zeros at the end of the numbers, eight, nine zeros. When their accountants give them their figures, they're over six, eight, nine zeros there. What is in the capacity of the soul? What are they doing? How do they think? What do they feel? What is at the intent of their existence and their consciousness? I hope this has given you a lot to think about. And please remember to visit the Pause for Peace app, or rather download that, and go to the Meditation Museum. And for those of you, I've been learning and enjoying a lot on tweeting. Please tweet us at America Meditate and let us know how we're doing. Give us feedback on the show. Give us updates. Send us emails at americameditating@gmail.com. Let us know some of the guests that you'd like to have on the air, so we can enjoy our conversations with them and continue to thrive into a world of beauty and wonder and grace. You're listening to the America Meditating Radio Show, and we're going to take a few moments now and do a lovely meditation to just sink in to our inner light, beauty, and grace. This is from the Knowing Myself CD by our beloved Sister Jenti from the Brahma Kumaris in the United Kingdom. If you're ever looking for some beautiful meditations, you can definitely get them from her. Breathe in deeply, relax, and let's connect to the light within us. Inner light. Taking just a minute, I relax my body and become aware of my inner light. I visualize each one of my thoughts weaving itself into this light. I draw from my heart the power of inner peace and the light of love. My thoughts are filled with compassion and forgiveness, patience and tolerance. Welcome back to the America Meditating Radio Show. I'm your host, Sister Jenna. Earlier on the show, we were talking about what is it that creates success in a soul, and how does the soul actually create its fortune? We've often heard that there's no greater success or fortune than to actually do what you love, and what you love is your success. But my question to all of you is really, what is it that makes someone like Bill Gates or an Oprah Winfrey and Mark Zuckerberg, folks that when they look at their bank account, they're like 9 zeros? at the end of their numbers, and what's sitting in the soul that co-creates such a fortune? What is it that those souls think? What is hidden in their soul that manifests that reality? So if they're listening, if they come across the America Meditating Radio Show, we want to have this conversation with you because I think it lends some mystery to understanding that is the story that we're traveling with already fixed? Are we actually really doing something? Are we here to teach something? Are we here to learn something? Or do we just have a skill, and if we master the skill and push ourselves enough, it'll get us somewhere? Mysteries of the day, my folks. I'm looking forward to welcoming my very dear friend who's rejoining us today on the America Meditating Radio Show, Joy Baldridge, who was recently on the show. Our listeners enjoyed the conversation so much that we asked Joy to come back and continue our chit-chat. Now, Joy is a renowned self-management expert who helps the best companies in the world to become even better at increasing revenue and productivity. I wonder if she worked with Alibaba. Anyway, so she's also helping them to decrease their stress while they're actually increasing their fortune. She is the president of Baldridge Seminars International and specializes in training sales and management professionals at every company where she has sold. She was consistently ranked the number one revenue producer. We're very privileged to have Joy back on the air. Welcome.
Thank you. Very happy to be back.
Did you hear my conversation earlier, Joy, about this intriguing question that emerged for me today is, what is sitting in a soul that gives them the capacity or opens up the capacity for them to manifest billions? Because there's some folks right now, they don't even have enough money to put gas in their car. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it has to do perhaps with listening. Because I think the sooner that you can give yourself some time to be quiet and listen to your heart and listen to the voices in your mind that give you the ideas that you can act on to manifest such great fortune and such a great future, I think that's all part of it. I also think that we're all on a path that we are intuitive enough to follow if we choose to and trust your instincts and trust yourself. I think people get impatient and they just want something quick. But everyone you've mentioned, they had to take time and effort and have a journey to walk towards where they are. They weren't just born into that.
Exactly. There's something that you said, Joy, intuitively listening. And I think that's the big card right here, because some of us tend to remain so busy, or some of us are watching what others have, or some of us are living with expectations and desires without qualifying the self, or some of us are just trapped in a past. And so we're not listening intuitively as to really what is my story, what is it that I'm supposed to be doing. So why do we often find it challenging to be good listeners on a physical level, also on an intuitive level?
Well, to be a good listener on the physical level becomes challenging because your mind thinks so much faster than people speak. So when people are speaking to you, and they're speaking at about 100 to 125 words per minute, maybe gusts up to 150 words per minute if they're very fast talkers, and we have the capacity to think at like 900 plus words per minute, we think we can get away with not listening to every word someone says because they're speaking so much slower than we can comprehend. So we jump ahead or we think of other things, and then we get interrupted and distracted, which makes it difficult for us to get back and really understand what's being said.
Wow. Characteristics of a poor listener.
Well, characteristics of a poor listener are people who interrupt, people who do not pay attention.
Have you been to India?
Yes, I have. I've been to Coimbatore. And yes, I have. And I've been interrupted there as well. Oh, my goodness. I actually have a listening self-audit in front of me. It has 15 questions that determine whether or not you are a good listener. And if you want, I can share some of these questions with you.
Oh, please. Please, I'd love that.
So, and your listeners can take the test. Here it is. So question number one is, do you talk more than you listen, yes or no? And question two is, do slow speakers cause your mind to wander, yes or no? And number three, does nervousness or fear sometimes prevent you from concentrating on a speaker's message, yes or no? And question four, when you are puzzled, annoyed, or confused, are you hesitant about asking questions, yes or no? And number five says, do you judge or criticize while someone is speaking, yes or no? Six, do you frequently find yourself thinking ahead about something you want to say, even though the other person is still talking, yes or no?
Guilty of that one.
Guilty as darts. That, I think, is the question that most people say yes to than any other question. My favorite question on the quiz is number nine that says, do you ever pretend you are really listening when you really are not? Yes or no? Well, most people violate number nine. They actually laugh when they get to it, and it makes me laugh because I know what question they're on. And it's usually because they're at home and they're with people who are very familiar to them and probably very forgiving. So you tend not to listen accurately to certain people. It's selective listening is what it's called. Mm-hmm. Other questions, when a problem comes up, do you often react without gathering all the facts, perhaps by interrupting, yes or no? I gave myself a study for 3 years where I focused on how to stop interrupting because I tended to do that. So in the 3 years' time, I realized that if you take an old habit, you can replace it with a new habit. So the old habit was interrupting people. And my new habit, I decided I could do a few things. Number one, if I bite my tongue, literally, lightly and gently bite my tongue, I will not interrupt someone because I won't be able to speak coherently. And they say you can tell a good marriage by the bite marks on the tongues of the people in it, because if you've ever regretted saying something to a spouse or a loved one, if you just bit your tongue, you wouldn't have gotten in this problem. So I literally will bite my tongue in meetings and at home and anywhere I go if I feel I'm getting that impulse to jump to a conclusion or interrupt. And also I realized that if I take sips of water or coffee or tea in a meeting, I can't speak when I'm doing that. So I started to choreograph my sips with the questions I would ask. So I might say, so tell me a little bit about this project that you'd like me to get involved in. And then I would take a sip. And it works. I joke and say, in order not to interrupt people, I say you need to drink heavily. Because if you always have that water handy and you're constantly taking your sips, you can't say what you're impulsively wanting to, and then they have the chance to speak.
Can I jump in here? Because as the radio host, I might have to interrupt, but it's not because I'm not listening.
It's because I am listening.
There are times that I think folks might feel that they're going to get left behind, or the moment will pass that even if they have to share something as the person is speaking, it's no longer relevant. So there's sometimes a sense of dynamics that emerges when there is a conversation going on, and then you're just like, oh my gosh, yeah. And again, I go back to our earlier conversation. In India, there is no such thing as having somebody finish a story and then sharing your story. There's like 20 conversations happening at the same time, and for the life of me, I don't know how everyone hears what everyone is saying.
But so they
it's just a cultural thing.
That's so funny.
So what do you say of when folks really just feel like they wish to capture the moment to add perhaps to it, or to give some sort of a clarity, or maybe to find more meaning and understanding?
I see. Well, you have to be interested in the person and respectful of the person when you get into an interpersonal communication. And as you mentioned, in India, if that's a cultural phenomenon in the Indian culture, then I think people are very good at adapting. And they can tune in and have a higher sense of awareness of what's happening amidst all these conversations. And so you really have to focus in on what is the culture of this conversation? What is the culture of the team that you're working on? In your office, does everybody finish each other's sentences, and is that welcome because you're so in tune with what you're doing? Then it's perfectly fine to violate some of these listening self-audit truisms. Because according to this audit, if you answered yes to the questions, then you have to improve your listening. And if you don't do things like interrupt people or are bothered by slow speakers, then you're fine. And so I think it's a matter of deciding if you want to be a part of this conversation, you need to be respectful and in tune. And because physiologically it's so hard to do that, there's so many forces against you, I highly recommend the two techniques of the toe press and the 446. The toe press, meaning that when you get excited to interrupt somebody or you want to jump into the conversation, it requires a little bit of self-discipline, and it makes you actually look better because it shows that you're there and you're caring more so than you may think by jumping in. And so if you press your toes into the ground, it creates a dynamic where your excitement, your energy, your impulsiveness to interrupt is diffused because all of that energy is going into the ground and it's grounding you. You can try it now, so can your listeners. If you just press your toes into the ground, whether you're sitting or whether you're standing, if someone stops you in the hall and you're walking down the hall to get to a meeting and they say, I just have a quick question, can you help me with this? Your mind is elsewhere. Your mind's already in the meeting. If you say yes, just turn to the person, press the toes and say, how can I help? And the 446 is where you inhale for 4 seconds, hold it for 4 seconds, and exhale to 6 seconds. And throughout meetings, you can inhale, hold it, and exhale as people are talking. And it forces you into the present tense where all of your senses are in tune with what that person is trying to share.
Wow, beautiful. Yeah, I did it. Because I just wanted to jump in so much and keep talking to you. And then I just,
press those toes. Get yourself grounded.
Now, you know, success is such an important thing in our lives. I know perhaps maybe now more than ever, a lot connects success to money, to material possessions and so on. And there are a lot of people who are now just saying, I just wish to be happy and have good relations. Well, I'm looking at success in terms of really more good relations. When your marriage is working, your kids are okay with you, your in-laws are fine. How high does listening rank in making those areas successful?
Very high. According to the research that I've seen, of course, communication is the number one cause of conflict in relationships. And there was actually an expression I saw that I thought was kind of funny. It said, what's the number one cause for divorce? And then it said marriage. And so when you enter into a marriage, I thought that was very funny because it's always communication. That's what people say when asked that question.
Yeah.
And so it's vital. And according to some of the listening studies that I've read, it says that you can count the number of really good listeners that you will meet in your entire lifetime on one hand.
Wow.
And if you test that theory and think of all the people that you know and all the research I've done, that person on the one hand is usually, it could be a spouse, it could be a parent, it could be a mentor, role model, or a best friend. And then you become hard-pressed after you say who your best listeners are. For me, it's my mom, that's one. Number two, Mary, my best friend. Number three, Sue, my other best friend. And then interruptions like this ringing going on here. It causes your mind to go in a different direction. So because we are not skilled to be good listeners, and listening is a skill, it's like golf and piano. It's just not because you can hear that you're a good listener. They even test babies when they're born and they make a noise behind them, a clapping sound, and then they jolt and get a reflex and you know they can hear, but they don't have the cognitive capabilities to actually listen and understand the meaning of words and conversation. So when you marry somebody and you want them to be your everything and your expectations are so high, yes, if you married your best friend, then that is wonderful and they probably are a tremendously good listener. And they say that's in about, I guess, 5 to 10% of marriages might be that. And then in other marriages, it's more functional, it's more practical, it's more attraction, it's more enamored, being enamored with somebody. So there's lots of different things that cause a marriage. And then you get the in-laws, which are really just a part of the marriage. And then the children, you never know what you're going to get when you get the children. And so I do have some techniques for listening, but also connecting and relating with others better. And when you were talking about people who are very successful, if you look at the communication that they exhibit, whether it is Oprah Winfrey, as you had mentioned, who is a good, very good communicator, or other people, you'll notice that that's a big part of it. So I have been experimenting with different personality types and how it affects relationships, and it's you can listen for them. And if you and your listeners decide to do this, I think you'll have a much better relationship with your in-laws and children and friends and family and spouses. And there's only four words. There is a person that needs to be social, and they're all about being great and amazing. So social is the word, and great and amazing are the subtext. And they're attracted to the opposites, which are the factuals, who like to be right, absolutely right. And so factuals is the type, but then they like to be right. That's the language. And then there's the maverick, who is all about getting it done and let's just keep moving. And they have an egocentric side. And then there's the loyal, who is also the collaborator and the coordinator and the helpful one. So when you listen to anybody speaking and you say something like, the project is on track, and they say, terrific, then you know they're the social type because they say great and terrific and those types of words. If you say the project is on track and they say right, then you know they're the factual person and they like it to be more buttoned up and lined up. If they don't say anything, they're the maverick ego already on to the next project. They don't care if it's done or on the right track because they're off to the next one. And if they say, oh, we worked so well together as a team, everybody was helping, then you know a type. So at first you might think, gosh, this might be confusing and how do I listen for this? But think about it. Do you know anybody who just says the word great all the time to everything? It's great. You're great. I'm great. It's all great. Oh, I'm so glad. That's great. And then you know that that's the type of person they are. And if you listen for that and you use the language back to them, they feel more connected and they feel happier. But you have to do it sincerely and not just in a mimicky type of way.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about the perpetual pessimist in the team or in a group? Because there's always somebody who comes up and actually points out what went wrong, what wasn't good. This one did this one said that. Where do they rank?
Where do they rank in the types?
Mm-hmm.
Or how do you communicate with that type?
Where do they rank in the type? Because I didn't hear that type mentioned.
Well, the pessimist tends to be, I don't want to stereotype, but they tend to be in the factual corner. Because they want it right, and they want to get it just right, they're going to look for ways that it's wrong. So it's not always anybody can be a pessimistic person, especially depending on circumstances and expectations, but typically it is the factual, and actually I've tested people, and this is their language. If they're a nice pessimist, they'll say things like, and there are such things, they'll say, I hate to be a devil's advocate, but, and then they go into the problem, and so they kind of soften the blow. Or you've got the blocker who will just say, oh, this will never work. I can't believe it. We've done it before. It didn't work then. It's not going to work now. Why do we keep doing this? And those become a blocker personality.
Mm-hmm.
They're more concerned about getting it right or rehashing the past. And it's not always the case, but if you had to pick one out of the four, it would be the factual type, because if you think the helpful type just likes to help and collaborate, so they're not going to be the pessimist. And the social type likes to make everything great, so they're almost delusionally optimistic because it's always fabulous. And then the ego maverick type, they're always on to the next. So they're not going to waste any time with this, you know, pessimism, it's not going to work. But we can't confuse pessimism with skepticism. Skepticism is different because that's where they weigh all the options. A pessimist just kind of has a broken record about things not going well. They're not as selective. Does that make sense?
It does. And again, it might also add to it to make it a little bit more juicier, might be the relationship that the pessimist has with some of the folks within that team.
With the optimist?
It creates like dynamics, which I find are absolutely incredible to be an observer of. I love listening to you. And I love sharing with you. And I think our listeners are just, again, they're just going to appreciate this conversation because it's helping everyone to be better people. Now, before we close the show, I'd love for you to share your favorite quote about listening. And is there anything in particular that Joy is working on that you would love the listeners to be aware of so that they could contact you and find out how to participate?
Oh, yes, that would be lovely. Well, the quote that I like is a quote that says, one of the most sincere forms of respect is actually listening to what another has to say. And there's a cliche quote that a lot of people know, and that is that you have two ears and one mouth, and they should be used proportionately. So that means listen twice as much as you speak. As far as what I'm working on, I am almost done with a book, and I'm starting to take pre-orders for it. And it is called It Will Never Be Yesterday, So Why Keep Talking About It? How to Further Your Success for Tomorrow. And that is going to be out at the end of this year. I can be reached at 203-564-0141. I also have been doing some speaking at conventions and associations around the country and internationally. So if anybody needs a speaker at their convention on motivation, sales, communication types of things, how to be efficient and effective, I would be delighted to speak about that and explore the options. My website's www.joybaldridge.com, B-A-L-D-R-I-D-G-E. And I have a fun toll-free number. It's 877-JOY-ROCKS. J-O-Y-R-O-C-K.
That's so sweet. Joy, thank you. Please come to the nation's capital. We'd love to organize something for you and definitely have you as well at the Meditation Museum. It's always a pleasure to have you on the AM show.
A pleasure as well.
So we just had the fortune of having Joy Baldridge on, just this whole notion of listening and how listening really connects to how our relationships shape up. And I remembered coming across this understanding where if you really feel that somebody heard you, you really feel that you're seeing. And when you're seen, you feel that you're acknowledged and you're valued. And it's so important to be heard, because when you're heard, you get this feeling that I am valued. And so this is how important this conversation on listening really was today for me, and I'm sure for all of you. We hope you really enjoyed the AM show today. And remember, do go onto Twitter and follow the show and conversations and let us know how we're doing. And again, pass on information of other folks that you'd like to have on the air. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission. And we are here to learn to love each other the same. So wishing everybody all the best. Don't forget, keep your happiness going, and we'll finish up with our favorite happy song. Take care, everybody. Clap along if you feel like that's what you want.